Are you a writer? You probably are, whether or not it's your profession. From birthday cards to wedding toasts to texting, email, and social media posts, pretty much all of us use the written word to express ourselves. So we might as well get good at it, according to Melissa Harris and Jen Bain, authors of the new book, Everybody Needs an Editor, The Essential Guide to Clear and Effective Writing. Melissa is a former journalist who spent 15 years writing for outlets, including the Orlando Sentinel, the Baltimore Sun, and Chicago Tribune. She serves as an entrepreneur in residence at the University of Chicago and is the founder and CEO of the marketing agency M. Harris & Company. Jen is an author and the creative director of M. Harris & Company, and here she is to share five of their big ideas.
I'm Jen Bain, author of Everybody Needs an Editor. Throughout my career, I've learned the ability to communicate is key to your professional reputation, especially in the age of artificial intelligence. AI doesn't mean we can stop worrying about the quality of our writing. It actually means the opposite. We must write extremely well to stand out from the crowd. That's why I wrote Everybody Needs an Editor. It's a guide to becoming a sharper, everyday writer. And here are five insights from the book about communicating better at work. First, have an elevator pitch ready to go. An elevator pitch is a short story about yourself. Everyone can benefit from having one ready. An elevator pitch lets you make swift and confident introductions in person or in writing. It can also act as a foundation for interviews, cover letters, or sales calls. And your pitch should be brief enough to deliver to someone while riding between floors on an elevator. We didn't say you were going to deliver this to someone trapped with you on an elevator. This isn't an aggressive or hard sell. To get comfortable saying your pitch out loud, start by writing it. Here's how. Summarize yourself in one intriguing sentence. Lead with your highest level self-description, like that you're a former accountant now teaching math to unruly kids, or you're a retired naval officer who suffered bad seasickness. Nail the grippy details. A successful pitch demands a follow-up question. Maybe you just said you're a project manager who worked in every country that starts with the letter N. And now we have to know, which did you like better, New Zealand or Nepal? Do more than spout your resume. As in storytelling, your pitch should have narrative flow. Use an anecdote to sum up your experience or tell your tale in chronological order, like this. After a lifetime of investigative journalism, I'm about to publish my first detective novel. Practice it out loud, of course. Use a timer and get as close to 30 seconds as possible. And also, be mindful about name dropping. Mentioning specific people or places does boost credibility, but if you immediately list five celebrities, you won't come across as successful. You will come across as a blowhard. My next insight, not everything belongs in an email. The second you hit send, you lose control of your audience. You don't get to decide who sees your email next. So with that terrifying thought in mind, here's what not to do in work emails. Don't write anything you wouldn't want to see screenshot and then post it on social media or forwarded to your mom or forward to a journalist. Email feels fleeting, but it's forever. So don't badmouth your boss in writing. Do it in person instead. Don't write a long series of paragraphs either. You know how people sometimes say that a meeting could have been an email? Well, the opposite is also true. People don't read long emails, so don't write them. In fact, consolidate your emails whenever possible. It's better to send someone one email with three short topics than three separate emails. But if you do that, number the topics so your recipient won't overlook one of them. Oh, and don't ask for a raise in an email. Instead, ask for a meeting. Yes, you should state that the purpose of the meeting is to discuss a possible raise, but save the negotiations for a face-to-face. If you think it's easier to make your case in writing, consider that it's also easier for your boss to say no in writing. Don't quit over email, as tempting as that is. Deliver the news in person, if at all possible. If you're parting on friendly terms, a brief conversation with your supervisor gives both of you a chance to reflect on your work together and say thanks. If not, at least you didn't come across as spineless, because you aren't. And speaking of spineless, here's a tip for bosses. Don't fire anyone over email. Also, don't use reply all with large groups, unless you've got the absolute funniest joke of all time, like a real zinger. My next insight, bad news should be delivered in person. But let's say you can't. Since this is a book about writing, let's take an example where an email could be appropriate. Maybe your company is closing a branch office, a move that suggests sales are down and some jobs might be in peril, so you have to write the memo to the staff. First, don't make your email a guessing game. Deliver the bad news clearly and directly in the first two sentences. Don't explain to your audience why this news is really not so bad, and don't give misleading explanations, and don't make promises you can't keep. Acknowledge their concerns. Stay positive, but stay honest, too. And keep it vanilla. Don't try to be clever. Avoid adjectives and adverbs that might be seized upon by people who are upset. And whatever you do, don't get personal and say something like, "As a 10-year veteran, I feel especially sad about this. Nobody cares." Okay, here's an example of a direct and compassionate email. "Staff, we have some bad news. We'll be closing the Centerville office as of June 30th due to lagging sales. Our colleagues who work there will be transferred to our main office, so please make them feel welcome. I'd like to assure you that no staff reductions are anticipated at this time, and I'll point to the fact that we are launching a new product next month as a sign that we're upbeat about the future. If you have any suggestions, questions, or concerns, please contact me to discuss them. When we work together, we succeed." That was pretty good, right? No sugarcoating, no burying the critical information. And it does cite a piece of positive news and tries to maintain an optimistic attitude. My next insight, be kind and direct when you give your feedback. When you give feedback about a colleague's writing, you should tell the truth, but it shouldn't be the unvarnished truth. Use a little varnish, like so. "Hey, I took a look at the About Us you drafted for the website. I love the way you described our company's mission. That's a message we have to get across better to both our customers and our own staff. I wouldn't change a thing about that sentence. It's perfect. Beyond that, you can do some more trimming. Let's try to get this down to two paragraphs. Also, have you thought about saying something about us being named the best software company by that industry group? It was a huge honor. You know how potential customers love that kind of validation. Great job." See? Be honest, but keep negative comments brief. Don't go on and on, because that feeds the normal human behavior instinct to be defensive. And don't be too picky. If you're asked for your opinion on a piece of text that will be released publicly, try to find out whether another editor will read it before it's released. If so, you don't have to get into the weeds about every little thing. Finally, give the person a chance to fix their own problems. If it's a first draft, suggest what they might add or delete. Don't rewrite the whole thing right away. Give them a chance to get it right and retain the pride of authorship. The goal is to make the recipient feel like a collaborator. You're working together to get it right. My next insight, leave people alone. Honor people's vacations and don't contact them. If you work closely on a team with someone who's going on a vacation, you may want to do a little prep work first. You can ask them, "Is there anything brewing that could become a crisis while you're away? Do you want me to let you know if that happens? Is there anything else important you would want to know about that I should interrupt your invitation to tell you? Should I contact you via email, text, call?" And about email, you may be tempted to keep CCing your colleagues on daily emails, including them in responses. Don't assume that. It's better to ask what they prefer rather than trying to read their mind. You could offer to schedule emails for the day they return, or to write one update email at the end of the week instead of forwarding 20. And if you yourself are the one trying to get away, be proactive to protect yourself. Resist reading work emails while on vacation. It's the same thing as working, and you, my friend, are on vacation. Before you go, let important clients or close colleagues know so they can get last-minute questions out of the way. Ask a trusted colleague to contact you if something happens that you should know about. Yes, that's vague, and it requires a colleague to exercise good judgment on whether to bug you, so choose wisely. Set an out-of-office notification on your work email and ask a colleague if they would be willing to be an emergency contact. As an example, "I'm out of the office this week and will have limited access to email. I will return March 9th. If your issue is an emergency and requires urgent attention, please contact my colleague Pat at Pat's email." What you shouldn't do is write your memo like this, even if you want to. "I'm out of the office until further notice. If your issue is an emergency and requires urgent attention, deal with it yourself."
Thank you, Jen. That was 5 big ideas from Everybody Needs an Editor, the Essential Guide to Clear and Effective Writing by Melissa Harris and Jen Bain. Also check out our book guide for Smart Brevity, The Power of Saying More with Less by Mike Allen, Jim Vandehei, and Roy Schwartz. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.